CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, it is Dom time. Welcome in. And it's been a big, big week here. We'll get to one of the big stories. Yesterday, the arena. It's a done deal now. We'll talk with the councilman whose district fits in and could have stopped it at 1:30. And we'll also talk with this mayor. Really, Dan says wanting to get on to go after John Kirby. The most outrageous thing yesterday. Probably the best thing I heard yesterday, though, is Jessica Tarlow from The Five. And I know some people can't stand. She's the best debater they have there. The Howard Ford Jr. guy. Oh, my God. She is, as a moderator, I would tell you, the person you want on something like that to push back on the other side. And that's why the chemistry of The Five is so good. She was on the Katie Couric podcast, though, and she said the smartest political decision of the last couple of years was the decision by Governor Abbott of Texas and Ron DeSantis, particularly she cited DeSantis, sending busloads of people that came here illegally, in the case of Abbott, to New York, Chicago, which is going to be ground zero on deportation day, says Tom Homan, and to Denver, where the mayor, I think, in Denver could be arrested on that day. I think you're going to see some of that. And she said the reason is DeSantis, Martha's Vineyard, you know what happened there. I don't think we fully give enough credit. I would agree with that. I think it's the moral thing to do. Why should Texas, or in the case of DeSantis a bit, Florida, why should they suffer from what we've seen play out with this wave? When they came to the other big cities, somehow or another, Philadelphia didn't get that much. There was somewhat. I'm seeing that in Houston, the DA is going to seek the death penalty for the two here illegally who killed that little girl after raping her. You may remember that, and threw her in a lake. Couple of things, though. Have we gotten to a point that we're even in Texas? This is big news. You would think the death penalty for this, obviously. And I saw an interview with her. She's a Democrat. She said, yeah, I'm seeking the death penalty. Good, even, Democrat, I guess it's tougher. But she said this crime was particularly gruesome. And here's where I have to make the point that shows you why we have a tendency to be losing. If I'm the DA, how many times do I have to say this? It doesn't matter how gruesome or not gruesome it is. If you kill the person, you take their life. That's the main thing. It doesn't matter if you rape them. It doesn't matter their age. It doesn't matter if they're a big mouth bloviator like me or not. It doesn't matter if it's a drug dealer. If you meet the components of first-degree murder, then every single time you're going to get the death penalty. I'm going to follow you to the ends of the earth and push as hard as I could to make sure every single one of you gets the death penalty as quickly as possible. I'm looking at her now on Fox, and she's a Democrat, so even though in Texas it's got to be, I get the difficulty. And it's good she's going for the death penalty. But in the explanation, she talked about all these extenuating circumstances that would make it a death penalty. That's not what makes a death penalty. It's taking the life of the person. So just think for a moment how the left has won on this. It's like a Chinese menu, column A and column B. They try to prove extenuating circumstances. They didn't have a pony when they were a kid. And the prosecution has to give us a look at the notion of somehow or another that this is so gruesome. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's two people, one person, and it doesn't matter the person. None of it matters. To me, that would go a long way to get back to the essential thing, life. Life is precious. You don't have a right to take it. You have a right to take it in self-defense, but you don't have a right to take it in these circumstances. Yeah, but he was a drug dealer. I'm a drug dealer. Well, was it self-defense? No, I just wanted to kill him to get his territory. You got the death penalty. It doesn't matter. Well, the manner that I killed him wasn't so bad. I shot him and he died instantly. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter that it's gruesome. Doesn't matter they're here illegally. It might enrage us more in some way, shape, or form. But the bottom line is you get the death penalty every single time. All right, 855-839-1210. That's how you get on board. So I think that Abbott and DeSantis are highly underrated for the fact that they really unleashed something here that has had all kinds of repercussions. And Homan has a good eye for this stuff. Homan is targeting Chicago for the first day of the crackdown. I think I would do Denver because I think the Denver mayor thinks he's going to challenge this. And I would lock him up also. But Chicago is where they're going to go. And Homan already saying if the mayor tries to impede us, he'll be arrested also. Sherelle Parker hasn't said anything here. The mob is on her that she has to re-verify this as a sanctuary city. Second order of business, take away every dime you can from those that identify as sanctuary cities. Now, Homan's going to get his part done. The thing that really will put pressure on these cities is to take away the money. We know that. They want to be woke, but they also want the money. All right, let's go to Scott in Mount Laurel. Winner again, moving forward to the next round here against Robert of Bensalem. That can't be. The Clash of the Titans. These are my two favorites clashing in the semifinals. Oh, man, yeah, that's big time stuff. Dan, does that happen on Monday?
That will be happening, Dom. Let me look here. I think, yeah, because over the weekend we'll do our fourth matchup of the second round. So, right. Yeah, our first matchup of that final four will be Robert and Scott, and we'll do that, yeah, Monday.
Oh, boy. The show. Right, I'm looking forward to that match, second to none. All right. Go ahead, Scott.
Oh, yeah, that should be fun. It's always fun to be a part of things and be involved.
Well, Scott, I gotta interrupt. You're a coach, man, and you got the kind of personality where number one is win. It doesn't matter. And all this crap about these other callers saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to step aside. I don't know if I'm going to hear that from Scott Mount Laurel.
No, he's not going to hear it from
him. So how would you coach up your players? I mean, if they have all this, like, oh, I'm going to, you know, step aside. No, none of that, right? Scott, you want to win this whole thing, huh?
Absolutely. We want to win. We want to do the best we can all the time. We try to win. And obviously, if we lose, then we're not going to be poor sports about it. We'll congratulate the winner. I congratulate Earl down at Mulligan's this year. But certainly, I want to win.
I love it.
Good stuff, yeah.
I love the competitive spirit of Scott and Mount Laurel. Monday, vote for Scott if you want him.
There you go. That's what I have. Vote for Scott on Monday. Yep, that's a good slogan. I mean, we could get a little more creative, but it's not bad. But I'll tell you, I was listening to some of the stuff you were saying earlier. I do agree, actually, with the thing with DeSantis and the governor of Texas sending those people to these different states. It's really made those other states, the ones that are voting for the Bidens and for the Democrats on the presidential level, feel the impact of their decisions. And there's no question that I think that helped in terms of getting Trump reelected. We have to make them feel that. The way the Democrats tried to inflict everything on everyone else by, you know, low-income housing and putting in all these different towns and trying to kind of, you know, make everyone's problem or some people's problem everyone's problem.
Yeah, exactly right. These insulated places, Scott, once they feel this a little bit, then they move forward. And the people that are leading the charge are usually African-American in Chicago and places like that. They've had it, and I think it helped propel Trump forward. The other side still hasn't gotten the message clearly enough, though, on this. They think it's just a blip on the screen. I don't think so. If Republicans are smart, this has been unleashed.
Well, and I think on that, in that vein, one of the things that Trump needs to do is, if he can, is do that to Congress. If Congress had to live under the laws that they put out there, we would have a lot different country. You know, they put Obamacare out there, but they're exempt from it.
Exactly.
I think that that's something on the bully pulpit that Trump could make inroads with, and maybe that would change some things. Another thing is Caitlin Clark. What she did was a mistake, because once you show them that they can wear you down and get you to do what they want, then they are even more emboldened and more relentless. She is really in trouble now.
Yeah, I agree with you. And she's going to lose support from people. I wouldn't tell people to do that. As a player, I still really like her. I'm already seeing people say, though, she needs to be punished. I think she's under a lot of pressure. I hope she reconsiders. But I wouldn't be punishing her. The punishment, as you say, is going to be enough. She's going to see this won't stop it.
Yeah, it'll make it worse. I agree. I wouldn't punish her. I mean, I don't watch the WNBA anyway. I mean, you know, it's you, whatever.
Wait a minute. You're a basketball guy. How can you not watch basketball?
Well, I'll just say it nicely. I'm more interested in the games that I'm coaching and the practices that I'm going to and scouting and all that than to have time to watch the WNBA. Although I guess they play in the summer, so I'm watching baseball then.
Okay.
I don't find women's basketball that entertaining. Can I say that?
Okay, sure you can. I find it to be decent, that type of thing. I do. So
okay.
We did. By the way, how's that project? Are you lurking it up that Dan by down at Mulligan's is going to shoot 70% at the foul line?
Well, we got to get together and work on it. Dan's got to let me know his schedule, and we'll get him a 70%. I am telling you,
man.
It will happen.
Now, you know, it's windy at the short, too. I don't even know if NBA players are shooting.
We need to shoot indoors. Okay, I am not. That is not something that
go
I
ahead.
Can
There's a better
for.
Chance that Ben Simmons emerges out of nowhere and becomes the king of three-pointers than me hitting 70% in free throws.
Just God. Yeah.
Dan, I'm going to have you shooting so well, you're going to be like, you're going to think, gee, why didn't I play basketball all those years?
There you go.
Wish I knew you earlier, Scott.
All right, what's your answer on the ritual superstition?
There was one year that I was coaching, and for whatever reason, we had a lot of close games, and late in the game when we were shooting foul shots to protect the lead, I would take like a step towards the scorer's table, and then I would just start walking towards our bench in a certain way. I can't even describe it, the way my feet were, and we seemed to make our foul shots that year, so I just kept doing that every game.
That is it. That's how rituals start. Now, is it true if your team gets to the finals of the state or something, you would wear a thong for them to win?
If I thought that would make us win, I'd definitely do it. But I don't know that I would believe in it.
Thank you, Scott. That's, I think it was the good Giambi, the greater Giambi, not the lesser Giambi, who wore the thong. I don't think it was the other guy. It wouldn't have helped.
Jason, not Jeremy.
Yes. Yeah, Jeremy, yeah, was just one of those on-base percentage guys, allegedly, yeah.
He gets on base.
All right, 855-839-1210. That's how you get in. Moments away, we'll talk with Councilman Mark Squila. The arena situation, again, I like the guy. It's not going to be argumentative, but I want you to hear somebody on the other side. Let's see what arguments he can make about. In other words, in Philadelphia, if it's in your district, you have the prerogative. If you say no, they don't do it. I don't think that's a good rule, but that's what it is. You got to get them to say yes first. And then yesterday, they did say yes. Curiously, the worst member of the Socialist Working Party people, Kendra Brooks, did not show up for the vote. The cowardice is beyond belief. So I don't know what interest she has. You know, you would think she would vote against it. But she just didn't show up. All right, 855-839-1210. And I could hardly wait to bring you the mayor of this town in Jersey, who's speaking out today. But as we head toward the end of the weekend, Murphy and the Biden administration doing nothing, they're winning on this. People do get tired. It's almost like, does something have to happen before they agree that something is happening here? In other words, don't they have any pride, any personal sense, not on my watch? Don't you at least have that to say, no, we're not going to let this go on. I don't care what we have to do. I don't care what the red tape is. I'm not letting this go on, particularly in a place like Jersey. 855-839-1210. Dump to your Dano show. Dan's got an update already. A lot of voters. Joe of Exton versus Bill of Bucks. How's it going, Dan?
Yeah, Dom, 2024 Caller of the Year competition at Dom Show 1210. We got an hour, about an hour and 30 left on the vote that's going on right now. It's our third second round matchup between Bill of Bucks, our most frequent caller of the past year, and arguably the betting favorite of the competition, Joe of Exton. So a big matchup here could determine the rest of the tournament, to be quite honest, because these guys are heavy hitters.
Right.
Dom, really close matchup, 52.6% for Joe of Exton, 47.4% Bill of Bucks. Head on over, Dom Show 1210 on Twitter to vote.
Let's get Linda Kearns on this. We may need her at the deadline, like at 2:56, to determine if the vote was indeed, or will there be any, Mark Elias, to call his office. We might need him to continue counting the ballots here. Even though they're electronic, who knows? This might be one of those. All right, 855-839-1210, you get on board. We're going to talk with Gerald Posner, too, right, Dan, today?
2:30.
Gerald Posner is the guy, and Dan, you probably don't know this. You saw the article, though. He wrote a great article, How Republicans Can Save Women's Sports. There's a bill they can pass that will do this. But he is Mr. Debunker extraordinaire. He made his fame because he wrote the seminal book saying Lee Harvey Oswald killed John F. Kennedy Jr., which I contend is when all this conspiracy stuff, that and social media, where it really took off. I'll ask him if he's watching the drone thing and what he thinks. He's written, too, about Big Pharma and RFK Jr. He's quite a guest. He's here at 2:30, and then we'll have the lightning round after him. Let's go to Sal in Sewell, New Jersey, on Talk Radio 1210. Hello, Sal.
Hey, hello, Dom. How you been?
Good, Sal.
All right. I was talking to Henry for a little bit, and I was going to say, you never believe it, Dom. I walked out just like that fella said yesterday. I'm here right on near Rowan College on Tanyard Road,
right,
close to Delcy Drive. And I walk out, and it's like 7:30 almost, right about there, 7. I'm ready to go get some shopping done for Christmas. I see the big light coming towards me. I said, what the heck is that? Ain't no one, Dom. Drone. Then another one follows them. Then two more come. Then two more. I seen six drones, Dom. Two big white lights are on them. Two little green lights and two little red lights blinking and blinking. Six of them. I said, what the heck's one? I called my sister. I called everybody, my neighbors out here. I said, come out, look. And then they veered off towards the Delcy Drive, and then they were heading towards the Washington Township. And then I told my sister, and about 30 minutes, 40 minutes later, she called me and said, yeah, I seen one outside my house. He's right there, like on Gantown Road near the Black Horse Pike.
Right.
So you're right, Dom. Them things are big, and they were flying. There were six. They were like buddies. The one would go forward. The other ones would follow the big one. And some would, two other ones would veer off.
Right.
But, yeah.
Cool. John Kirby is mocking the two of us having this conversation. What do you say?
Why, Dom? What's he believe? What did he say? I didn't listen.
He said there's nothing illegal, nothing to see here. There's no drones. Just continue on with your life.
Yeah, right, Dom. Like the balloon thing, right? Just leave
exactly.
it alone.
Leave it alone.
Yeah. Yo, Dom, no way I agree with that guy. He's off his rocker. I was going to ask you this, Dom.
Sure.
My buddy looked on, he lives in Philadelphia. He said, I grew up there, but he said that he read on the phone, I asked Henry on a Google or internet, that Murphy said, shoot them down, Governor Murphy, this turkey over here. And he said that the Chinese fellow was locked up because he did something with these drones, and he had something tied in with something that he got. Did you read anything, Dom, on the internet?
No, I don't know about that part, Sal. All I know is Murphy has the power to put long-range helicopters up there to follow these and or, if they move over something that's uninhabited, take them out. Sal, what's your ritual or superstition?
Dom, I got a good one. I don't know if it's not a good one, I think. Remember, Dom, how we'd like watch the Sixers or any football, the Eagles, and they'd say the guy, just like the fellow said earlier, guys at the foul line, and the Italians, we give them the fingers like the horns and give them the horn fingers and say, miss, miss. Just like with a field goal or an extra point
exactly.
at the foul line.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Perfectly. Sal, have a nice weekend. Thank you. Here's a little bit of what Sal was talking about. Dan's pulled this this news story with the Chinese.
A Chinese national living in Brentwood was arrested at San Francisco International Airport, accused of flying a drone over Vandenberg Space Force Base. The 39-year-old man, identified as Yin Piao Zhou, was apprehended before boarding a flight to China. Base security detected the drone on November 30th, flying at high altitude for nearly an hour. Investigators found aerial photographs of the base on the drone. If convicted, Joe faces up to 4 years in prison.
All right. So, again, the biggest gripe I have as we end this week, first of all, thank God for Jeff Van Drew setting the media into a frenzy here, at least, and the mockery that he got from Murphy and the Pentagon spokeswoman. We went through that, right? So as we end the week, though, it just seems this lethargy. Well, you know, Christmas will be here. These people like Sal, they'll forget about what they're seeing. Nothing's going to happen here. Nothing to see. Just move forward. I'm not, these are not grand conspiracy. It's something the military's doing. They don't want to say it. I do believe they're drones, and I do believe there's some kind of control that's foreign here. And we just have the inability to want to confront this. Again, even President Trump, I haven't seen, or his people say, once we get in there, here's what we would do if this is still going on. So what's the over and under? Does this continue through Christmas? I'll take the over. I'll say it goes through Christmas. So just sitting here as this continues. Dan, do you take the over or the under? Does this end?
No. And I think their hope is that we forget about it.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
You're 100% right. Like, I think if we, because we've seen so many times, like, look at a president was shot at. We had an assassination attempt, and the right. media just drops covering it and kind of, you know, distances themselves. And, you know, with our 24-hour news cycle, it is a realistic solution for, and I think for they're considering this as a solution to just ignore it and let's hope that the 24-hour news cycle passes.
That's what it is. And I have to say, the temperature on, like, Wednesday when we have Andrew was enormous. Yesterday it was pretty enormous. Today, not so much. And people are back to shopping, whatever, unless something happens here. Oh, well, just live with it. Just go on with your life. And we'll see as it continues. I think that's right. I think it goes through Christmas. Now, oh, yeah, the drones, are they still up there? It's outrageous. It's what government does. This guy Kirby is one of the all-time arrogant manipulators. He's better than the French woman at what he does. I'll give him that. All right, coming up, we are going to talk with Councilman Squila. Had him on many times over the years, particularly he's done good work in Kensington. I'll ask him about it. I got to get an update on that. And I'm amazed and proud that listeners still care about things like that, Kensington and the like, even if they live in the suburbs. But he's here mainly because his district will have this showplace of the Sixers, and he had to sign off on it right in the beginning, I don't know, 6 months ago, whenever, for the final lap here. Because if you don't, and you're in that, you're the council person for that district, they can't do it. It's councilmatic privilege. They're going to do it on Thursday. They were always going to do it. And I'll tell you right now, I'm getting myself ready for the celebration seeing this. It's just sickening. And the forces that want to do it, well, these are union jobs. So they're going to push everybody aside and say, we don't care about anything else.
It'd be great for the city.
That is so questionable.
It would be.
Okay, well, you have...
The amount of industry that comes with it and the...
Okay,
we talked about it yesterday, but it's a blight in our city right now, the East Market area, and this is a complete solution for it that is being handed to us.
When you have thousands of people who say it's going to destroy their culture, usually in Philadelphia, tens of thousands, that's enough. Why is it not enough here? I'll ask him. We'll see if he agrees. And I'm not going to put him into this. It would be, you know, but to me, if this were a different minority group saying this, they wouldn't do it. I would bet anything on that. All right. Every Friday night, FanDuel, in partnership with Value Forge Casino, is giving all customers a bigger payout on select NBA first bets. First bets will get you in on the action from the opening tip. You can bet on things like who'll score the first basket, which team will be the first to 15 points, and a lot more. And best of all, you don't have to wait the whole game to see if you won. Just look for Friday First in the FanDuel app to help that profit boost. Visit FanDuel.com/Dom, D-O-M, to claim your Friday First profit boost. Make every moment more, too, with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 1210 WPHT. You have to be 21 plus, present in Pennsylvania. Opt-in required, max wager amount applies. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including token expiration. See terms for both offers at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, Dom's here, Dano's show. I'm not sure at this point, but a second ago we were tied literally 50-50. Joe of Exton, Bill of Bucks, Dan.
No, it's still completely tied. Sick All right. Dom. 50-50 at Dom Show 1210 Caller of the Year contest. Really, really good matchup going right now.
All right, you can jump in right now at Dom Show 1210. Continue to vote. We'll have the winner right at about 256 or 57, somewhere around there today. And Linda Kearns will have to certify this election next week. We got to get her on here to check all avenues of this. 855-839-1210. We're waiting on Mark Spiela. Not exactly sure what's happened here. The councilman from, his district extends through downtown and all that. He's the guy who was the point person, though, on getting all this done with the Sixers Arena, which is like a million years down the road. But a big issue here in Philadelphia. And I've gave you the reasons why consistently this is out of line. So I just want to know, is a policy change now where if a large group, cultural, whatever, says, no, we can't have this. We get the economics of it, but you shouldn't be doing that here. It's going to be destructive. You don't go with them anymore. You just brush them aside. Why? Well, you look at the players on the other side. It's pretty hard to beat a bunch of billionaires, the black clergy, and the building trades union. They want to do it. That's enough. Nothing else matters. Now, if you happen to be some other kind of developer, though, you're going to face ferocious pushback and all kinds of name calling. But that's the way it works in Philadelphia. Okay, let's go to Joe in Columbus, New Jersey, who's sitting pretty, waiting this weekend for his next match, right? Joe's with us. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Dom. I also hear you put in a plug for the Zioli Army yesterday that I missed. Was that true?
I don't remember that. What was the...
On the terms of being a Zioli member or something like that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Dom, you know, it just didn't dawn on me till yesterday when I think it was on Rich's show. They had more recent drone spotting in Delran.
Yes.
And I started thinking, and I heard the gentleman prior to me talk about Washington Township. I think it'd be interesting to plot these things, because now it seems like Delran's right up against Morristown on its eastern edge. And right off of 295 there, you have a Lockheed Martin facility that is very, very secure tight. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if it's, for whatever reason, military or nefariously, I wonder if these things, if you could plot out, they're flying around the military installations. Because down in Atlantic County, you have a National Guard presence at Atlantic City Airport in Galloway, flying up and down the turnpike. It's a little jaunt to Fort Dix, McGuire, Joint Base, Picatinny Arsenal. I'm wondering if that has something to do with it.
Well, yeah, the Arsenal. That's one of the first places that reported this. And they're allowed to take action, Joe. I just think everybody's sure. Cowed here, and they're afraid if they're the one that takes action. So what they're going to do is they're saying to themselves, oh, how many days to Christmas? Just let this go. It's stunning.
Christmas had nothing to do with it, Dom. Remember how all the commercial pilots were taken out of their commercial planes and put into F-16s at 9/11?
Sure.
That should have nothing to do. Christmas should have nothing to do with this.
Joe, I have not seen anything more arrogant and incompetent, but mainly arrogant in government in this, and that none of them seem that. Well, the other guy that has power is the governor. As I said today, this guy made a great case, this expert, that he could have these long-range Blackhawks up there. They could follow, and or if it got over uninhabited land. We don't even know where it's coming from. How could that be possible, to your point about Lockheed and all? We don't know where these things are coming from.
Right. Some should be scrambled. Some should be, you know, it's concerning at best, at least. You know?
Yeah, well, what's concerning to me, as you know, Joe, for better or worse, I take things personally, and allowing this type of stuff to go on is an affront. Even if it turns out not to be a threat, it's still illegal. It's still terrorizing people who are wondering what it's about. And if you had any dignity at all, you would be moving heaven and earth, if you're the governor, for example, to do something.
Yeah. Hey, and, Dom, they got to, if they haven't already, they got to be encroaching flight paths.
Yes. I agree with you. Joe, what's your answer to this?
I had to hang up on him so I can use the phone.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry, Joe. We got your side there on the Henry. We'll give it to us in a second. We have Mark Squila coming on board. All right, let's go to Councilman Mark Squila here on Talk Radio 1210 from Philadelphia. All right, Dan, rub it in. Councilman, Merry Christmas to you.
Woo, thanks for the Sixers, Mark.
Thanks for coming on today.
Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for having me.
All right, so, Mark, Councilman, tell me the argument. I'm against this. You probably have heard.
I'm for it.
Yeah, we have some people that are for it. What do you say? What would your argument be? Because it's pretty hard to talk in these council things. I get it. People are revved up from Chinatown. Are they representative of Chinatown? It seems to me that they are the greater mass of Chinatown who says this is bad for them. What would you say to them?
Well, I'm going to say that is true, though. I mean, there is a majority of the Chinatown folks that feel like this arena will negatively impact them. And that's why it was so important to listen with what those concerns were and introduce companion legislation to put protections in place so that the concerns that we heard will not happen in Chinatown. And, you know, we did an overlay to have inclusionary zoning for affordable housing. We did a small business protection overlay in the zoning matter to keep making a variance for over a certain square footage. We also prohibited some uses like nightclubs and entertainment facilities in there, so you wouldn't have like big sports bars going in there and try to just build and do by right in the Chinatown community. And, you know, and the mayor, even on top of the CBA of the $60 million, added another $20 million for affordable housing programs within the Chinatown community to really build, over hundreds of units of affordable housing in there to keep and preserve the affordability and the culture of Chinatown. So, you know, because of those concerns that we heard and because of the opposition, we did the things that we think were necessary in order to allow the project to move forward and help with the blight of East Market and hopefully continue to build off the arena to build additional projects on the south side of Market and from 6th Street up to City Hall.
So, but people, if anything, are more revved up in these last few weeks that are in Chinatown. Does it sound like you guys know better with all the things that you just mentioned than what they know about their culture and what they want to continue in Chinatown? And Mark, I would add this. Am I wrong that usually when a group, particularly an ethnic group of some sort, says no because of these concerns, we're very skittish about moving forward with development? So is it that it's just so enormous, the amount of money here, that those things are pushed aside?
No, I don't think it's about that. It's about making sure the people and the concerns are heard, whether it was Chinatown or whether it was in a minority community, whether it was major black community, or even, you know, when you did the casino down the river at the in Fishtown, right? Majority working class neighborhood here, mainly Irish neighborhood at that point. But, you know, those concerns are very real, right? And when you did the casino down in Fishtown on Del Rado, there was 0% support for that. I mean, zero, right? So we're not saying we know better, but we're taking those concerns that we heard and putting protections in place, knowing that, you know, there are going to be negative impacts if we don't have these protections in place. And now that casino down there is a great community partner with the people who were opposed to it. Now, are we saying they didn't know any better and the casino really wasn't a problem? I'm going to say no. It was that because of the concerns that we heard, the city council was able to put protections and also work on the CBA to make that partnership happen, and so that the casino was able to grow along with the community together and become a partner in the mission of growing Chinatown in this case, or growing Fishtown in that case, and really to be as one instead of being adversaries.
the Inquirer, then, does the Inquirer in all these reports, including one that says that only 40% of the current people that are Sixers fans would agree to go in by SEPTA or by train to the games? I mean, there's going to be gridlock there. You differ with that?
Well, no, I think from learning from our studies, the studies have said, and I guess, you know, time will tell once the arena opens, but they say that if 40% of the people do not take public transit, then, you know, there would be gridlock in that area. And, you know, we talked to other municipalities who moved their arenas from more of a rural area, from surface parking lot places to inner cities like San Francisco, Milwaukee, or Boston. And take for San Francisco, for instance, they had 90% people driving to their events. They moved it down into the city, and now they have 50% people taking public transit. So how did they make that transition? What did they do? So talking to them, they had a public transit plan. The transit plan enabled to, you know, like Otis, our streets department, police, EMS, fire, all those folks putting a plan together. And in our legislation, we have to have a plan approved by PennDOT before they're even allowed to pull a permit. And then we also required them to purchase public transit passes for every person who buys an arena ticket. So for the first year, everybody who buys a ticket will have an arena pass, have a transit pass. And if they're coming from PATCO from Jersey or one of the counties and using the regional rails or the subway or the L, they could just use your ticket. They put it on the SEPTA platform. They could use it for that whole day. They ride back and forth. And therefore, encouraging more people to use public transit. And the other thing that these municipalities did is say, hey, listen, if you want to go to an event at this arena, you can't drive because there's not enough parking spots for 18,000 people, right? And they did that constantly for a year up to the event, and they were able to transfer the 90% drivership to those events and now have 50% public transit ridership. So we see it can be done. So understanding the challenges and concerns, if this is done right, it could work and benefit everybody. Of course, if it's done wrong, we will have those challenges that everybody's complaining about and have concerns about.
Well, why would I think, though, that SEPTA can accomplish anything of this? To me, SEPTA is ill-run and unsafe.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with there's challenges on SEPTA, and part of it is a funding mechanism that, you know, in Harrisburg, there's political wrangling over. They want a direct source of funding to go to public transit, right? And they're talking about these skill games and other things that they want both the Democrats and the Republicans to agree on to regulate and tax and then therefore fund it. The reason why they didn't fund SEPTA because they said they don't have a direct source. So that's more of a political issue. I think the government will get their act together. I think the funding will come from the state and locally to enable that. SEPTA does have work to do. We've met with them. They do have to clean up the system. They're in the process of doing that. They're going to have new leadership. I'm not sure who's going to be taken over. But from what I understand, that's going to be a high priority is safety and on time. You have to be critical in that it's clean, it's safe, and it's reliable. And that's the first thing we have to do within the next year or so, and then build it out so that most people who stop taking public transit will go back taking public transit. Because some of the studies have showed us that there are the ridership during the peak hours, even on regional rail, that used to be like rush hour, is down. But ridership at night and ridership at other times is actually at 2019 or greater levels. So maybe it's true that people aren't coming in at rush hour. Maybe people aren't working in town as much as they were before. But as this changes and as we look at these things, we have to be able to adapt to it and make those things available so that we want more people to take public transit. Our goal is to have transit-oriented development so people do take public transit. We don't want to shy away from that. And the more people that use public transit, the safer it will be.
Mark, how much are the Sixers then, if you could quantify this by whatever metrics you have, how much are they paying for this project?
Well, at the end of the day, I don't know what it's going to cost. And we're hearing $1.3 to $1.5 billion in cost to develop this, where they get their resources from, or who the venture capitalists are, or who are going to, you know, give them the resources to do this. I don't know. But it's not only about that part of it, because we know our challenges on East Market. We know, you know, the challenges of the Wanamaker building, right, that was in receivership. We know that the Heirloom Market at the Giant at 8th and Market is closing December 28th. Whether Macy's stays open next year or not is still up in the air. We know the empty vacant properties that we have. Mace Rich, who owns the Fashion District, who will now be partnering with the 76 Development Corporation, they will now own not only the arena, but that mall. They will also own properties on the south side of Market, which they could develop to have retail mixed use with residential building density on the south side of Market. That will be a big boost for East Market and Center City, and also help drive economic impact along that corridor. So it's not only the arena itself and the money that they put there, but their investment in East Market and then on the south side to help build density. And again, the more people that we have there in a transit-oriented location, the safer it'll be. And hopefully at that point, we will start to see an increase of people wanting to come back to East Market or Chestnut Street corridor. And instead of having all these vacancies, we'll start have more interest for people to come and have retail, more retail on, you know, our right now, which is a desolate corridor.
Other area for you, Mark, you've been very much in the forefront on Kensington. We don't hear as much about it, which is usually a pretty good thing. I know there's been a little bit of back and forth. So how would you tell us, first year of this new mayor and the other reforms that were put in, how does Kensington look at this point?
Well, I'm not going to say we have a big, big change in Kensington, but I'm going to say we have a big change in the effort to address the Kensington issue. The effort is there as far as cleaning. They have put a lot of resources in there. They have the mayor's TCB program with taking care of business has also engaged the community to do corridor cleaning throughout the area. The city has also invested money into a facility that should be opening up in the new year, first quarter of 25. That's going to open up a minimum of like 150 new beds, right? So the concentration, the priority, and the effort is there. We haven't seen right now a major change in unhoused people and people in addiction on the street, even though that this effort is happening. But I do believe that since it is a priority, the facilities will be opening up in the new year. I do believe you will start to see a change in 2025.
Well, Mark, thank you. Anytime, come on. So the next vote, the final vote, and looks very clear, will be this Thursday on the big arena project.
That's correct. It'll be the final vote Thursday. The council president added another session in order to have this done and not go into the new year. So it will be a vote up or down. And most likely, since the vote out of committee was a committee to whole and you had a majority of the people voting on out of committee, most likely the same majority will be voting that out on Thursday.
Thank you, Mark, very much. Thanks for coming on to explain.
All right. Thank you. Everybody have a good day. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas,
Take care.
Mark. Thank
right.
you very much.
Bye-bye.
Councilman Mark Squila here on Talk Radio 1210. Coming up, we're going to talk with the mayor of a town who is wanting to talk with John Kirby yesterday about what he said around the drone issue. You heard Mark Squila. We can take your reaction to it. You hear his side. All I know is the people in Chinatown are saying this doesn't make any sense to them. Are they just emotional over it? And I don't know that Chinatown is the same of what they did with the casino. I know where that is. I don't think that is as restrictive as Chinatown already is. And it's not cultural either, you know, like a Chinatown is, even though it was heavily Irish there and all that stuff. It's not quite the same thing. 855-839-1210. Hey, let's talk great dentistry as we head toward the new year. You're looking for a dentist, you're thinking, yeah, I put it off. You don't have to make an appointment before Christmas. You can do it into January, get yourself up and running, and that's with my guy. That's with Dr. Robert Bentz, my friend, dentist, board-certified prosthodontist of the Bentz Dental Group in East Norriton. So many things set Dr. Bentz apart, and I've gone through a laundry list over about 10 years of talking about him. One thing, though, is the role of technology. Now, we know the end product, the convenience, the consistency. We've talked about this with the 3D printer and making your teeth. But the state-of-the-art equipment, diagnostic care, you want something as precise as humanly possible. That's what Dr. Bentz has. That allows him to not only diagnose better and also to instruct you what your options are and what can be done. And also, in recent, he found something that others had missed. He had better diagnostic tools. Now, this is stuff that you just don't get every, so much so that other dentists send their more complex cases to Dr. Benz. You can get the Benz Dental Group to get that appointment. Call them today. They provide solutions to the most complex dental cases, 610-272-6949, or visit BenzDentalGroup.com, 610-272-6949.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.